Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan, your host. Oh, I usually say Susan Jane, that's for me. I'm Susan, your host for the show. And this is what we promised a couple of podcasts back. At 1.87 when we were talking to Tina about ghosts, this is the one we promised too, which is about children and ghosts. And I know that a lot of you are going to be listening in because you want to be able to help your child or your grandchild deal, cope, get through, understand what it's all about. And that's what this podcast today is all about. So I'm really, really excited to have Tina on board. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Tina for those who didn't tune into the other ones. Tina is a retired commander from the US Submarine Force, and she, her whole idea or her whole persona is about teaching the living how to heal the dead. And I just love it because this is so important for us, because we so often look at ghosts in a fear context when we don't need to. But that's enough of me talking. Here comes Tina. Welcome on board, Tina.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
And I'll just let the listeners know there's a little bit of a lag between the two of us at this stage. So please be patient with us. We will get through this and it'll be fine. But first of all, for those people that didn't tune into the last podcast that we had a couple of weeks ago, can you just give us a little brief rundown, rundown of your background?
My background started like a lot of people. You know, I have some psychic ability as a child. But so what? So you see a ghost here and there, or you sense something. You know, you grow up and you have to make a living. And because I needed to make a living, I decided that I would join the Navy. And that was in 1972. So, you know, I'm actually 10,000 years old. I just am well preserved. I truly love the Navy. I worked for the submarine force for 20 years. And I retired at the commander level. I never had command of a submarine. I'm going to be really clear and honest about that. But I worked for them. And part of my job was to protect submarines from terrorist attacks. So I designed equipment that would protect $100 billion in assets from terrorist attack. And one of the things I learned is the definition of terrorism. And terrorism can take place in the third dimension and the fourth dimension. Sometimes a terrorist isn't someone you think you can see, but is harassing you. So I retired and over the years encountered many, many, many ghosts, but I didn't know how to cross them over. And through a series of events, I learned how to remote view and began crossing over the dead, not just one or two, but hundreds of thousands of people at a time. It's an uncountable number that have been crossed over at this point. They would just come at me like hordes. And I eventually realized that I couldn't keep doing it. And, it, you know, if I was abducted by aliens tomorrow, somebody has to know how to do this, right? So I created something called the Crossing Over Prayer, which is also in a book called the Crossing Over Prayer Book. And it's designed to teach the living how to help the dead. And even if you might be fearful, you have an opportunity to do great spiritual service, regardless of your faith or the faith of the person who died. There is no religion in the afterlife. There's just you, and then there's the heaven world. And whatever your faith, it just gets you through an experience in life. So that's just a tiny bit about my background. And I do have to say, I have been studying metaphysics since I was eight. So it's a long time.
Wow. And if you do want to know a little bit more about Tina's background, you could go back and listen to the podcast number episode number 87, so 1.87. If you want to get a little bit more of an understanding of the Tina's background, she goes into a bit more detail then. But for this one, now you're talking about ghosts. Can you define, now we're really focusing on children here. Can you please define what a ghost is, and then we'll look at it in the eyes of a child. But let's first understand what a ghost is.
Okay. One of my trademarks is teaching the physics of metaphysics. Metaphysics meaning slightly beyond the physics you think you already know. When you apply the concept of physics, well, I think it's the second law of thermodynamics, energy is neither created nor destroyed. Think about that. The energy that is you is not created, nor is it destroyed. So the application of physics has to be universal, and that applies to ghosts. So the next time someone tells you there's no such thing as ghosts, whether it's your minister or your doctor, you need to take them back to physics 101. That said, when a person, this is going to happen to all of us, we will all become ghosts, whether we think we want to or not. It's just the process. And when you die, various organs in your body start to shut down. The last to shut down is your heart. And in the heart lives something called the seed atom, A-T-O-M, atom of the soul. And that houses your Akashic records. This information can be found in the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. And so the body basically begins to sort of fall away. And now what you're left with is the soul. And the soul, as a wisp of energy, the energy is not destroyed, that is you. It continues. It's what Christ meant when he talked about life everlasting. And so you're out of your body. Sometimes you know you're dead. Sometimes you have no idea that you've died. And so because of that, you linger because you don't remember anyone telling you what you're supposed to do when you're not in your body anymore. And it's so confusing. And sometimes you see this beautiful white light, but you know, you're not sure what you're supposed to do with that light. And sometimes you see darkness or dark beings around you. You might see another ghost, but you might not. And you're cold and you're lonely and you're fearful and you're not sure what you're supposed to do next. Unless there's a kind person who starts to say something called the crossing over prayer. When they say that, this light opens up and you see this amazing light, and there's a magnetic pull to this light, and it begins to pull you forward. And all of a sudden, your cares, your worries, your fear, your cold leaves.
Okay. Well, Tina's, she's got a little bit of a tickle in her throat at the moment, so we'll get through that though. I'll just mute your mic, Tina, so we can't hear any of what's going on. We can see it, but we can't hear it. So while Tina's going through that and just getting her voice back again, if you want some more information about Tina's services, go to her website, which is called ghosthelpers.com. It's nice and easy, ghosthelpers.com, and you can connect with her there. She's also got the email, which is contact@ghosthelpers.com. So we can contact her that way. Now, when we come back to Tina, we're gonna. She's explaining the differences with the concepts. What she hasn't explained as yet, which she probably will get to, is the different levels that we have. So we have our physical 3D realm here that we're living in, and then we have this 4D realm, which is where the ghosts tend to. So when you pass over, you go into that one. And then we have this fifth realm, which is what she calls the heaven realm. Now, she looks like she's stopped coughing. So we'll come back to you, Tina. There you go. How are you? You're all right?
Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm all right, yeah.
So
tickle in my throat and I'm working on it.
Sorry, I didn't get that bit.
I said I'm working on getting rid of this tickle in my throat. So keep going.
Okay. So we've talked about the ghosts. So what the ghosts are, and as they've crossed over, and they're not necessarily aware that they've died, not necessarily aware of that. So they're in this realm, they're in this fourth realm there, and they need to go to the fifth, and they don't know. So they're getting this really confused messages, and this is why they start to hang around your environments and hang around children. Now, why do they pick children?
There's an innocence about children, and the veil is thin with children. And the veil is this barrier that causes you to not be able to see ghosts. And if you can't see them, then that barrier is pretty thick. But a child has just come in. And so they still have that connection, that higher connection to the higher realms. And so, Evan, that hasn't hardened, or the doorway hasn't fully closed. And because it hasn't closed, they can still see and hear and sense all kinds of things. And you can see this even in babies that are, even in newborns can sense a ghost or a presence. And they can even sense if a person, babies are so sensitive, they can sense if a person is evil or dangerous. They're not unlike animals. They have almost a basic instinct about it. And so a baby is not going to lie to you. Your one-year-old isn't going to lie to you. Your four-year-old or five-year-old isn't likely to lie to you if they've never lied to you before about what they're seeing. And so from a child's viewpoint, they don't know that you can't see it. That's their norm. There isn't anything unusual about it. When I was four, I had a playmate. Her name was Sarah. I still remember her. She was a little girl. I don't know how she died, and I didn't know she was a ghost. I didn't understand why my mother couldn't see her. I could still see the Devic Kingdom playing, you know, when I was playing outside in the, you know, with the bushes and the trees. The children can see amazing things, but they don't see it forever. And the more a parent tells them that they're crazy or they're lying or they must have made it up, what you're really feeling is the parent's fear that the child can see something that the parent can't. But your child doesn't know you can't see it. And there's a way to bridge this gap without drugs or punishments that enables you to begin to be able to be the parent to your psychic child. But I just know in my heart that everyone would like to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the child's not aware of it. Then you'll get the child talking about different aspects. And before in the other podcast, you did talk about the difference between a ghost and, say, energy, negative energy, because I referred to the ghost as spirit, because that was my terminology that I used. I will change that now because I've got a better understanding of it. But the terminology I used is when somebody dies, they become spirit because, you know, the physical body's gone and they've just got that spiritual energy there. You're calling them ghosts because you define them in a, and this is your expertise, you define them in a different way. Can you explain that a little bit more? Because when children are seeing things, they're not aware of what they're seeing, not aware that you don't see it. So we need to get an understanding of the explanation behind it, what you're calling ghosts compared to what you're calling, say, negative energies. And a child could see both.
And there are children who can see both. I had a parent of twin four-year-olds, and that's in one of the ghost story books. She had twin four-year-olds, and both of these little boys were super psychic. And they saw the most horrific, horrible lower realm intelligences. What is a lower realm intelligence? Let's define that. You remember the movie Ghost that had Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg, and you know, Sam died. And I know maybe some people saw that film. It's actually an extremely realistic depiction of a lot of what happens after death. You immediately leave your body. Even if it's a quick, sudden death, the process is the same. But in the case of the really evil people, these dark black things with red eyes came at the bad guys. Those are lower realm intelligences. They do exist. They've been around a very long time. They've been depicted in literature all over the world, and they exist in the fourth dimension. And thank you, Susan, for bringing this up again. It's why I don't use a catch-all phrase of spirits for the fourth dimension. It's like going to a zoo and calling everybody a mammal. Some of them are not mammals. Some of them are fish. And some of them are, God knows what they are. So a ghost is a human being who left their body. A lower realm intelligence is a harassing intelligence that comes after people who have a frequency that's that low. A murderer, a pedophile, this is a really, really bad person. You also have beings called black magicians. And one of the most visible, and I've had people all over the world tell me they see this, is something called the man with the hat. You raise your frequency high enough, you won't see that being anymore. But there are the man with the hat. There are black magicians who exist on the lower astral. They have these unbelievably long fingernails and long scraggly hair, and their structures, even in that dimension, are extremely fragile. They look horrible and menacing, but they're actually quite fragile. In the Harry Potter movies, you saw a lot of the Dementors. Those exist too. So if a child is seeing these things, it could be that someone in the house is doing violent video games. Something terrible happened to the house, happened inside the house that you're living in. Maybe you didn't know that. It could be that there was an insane asylum that was on the grounds originally. And that's what happened to the Amityville, in the book, The Amityville Horror, which actually did take place. We've had several others of those take place around the world. And so when you're looking at these things, you have a lot of influences on a property. A child doesn't know what those influences are. They only know that they're seeing something and it's terrifying, or they're seeing a very evil ghost and the ghost is just having the best time harassing these children. Or they're seeing another child, like in the movie The Sixth Sense. It was extremely accurate on so many levels. The child, the human child, living child, saw people the way they died. If they were hung, if they were poisoned, they were hit by a car. You see the person, you see the soul, how they looked at the moment of death. That is what your child is seeing. And it sounds horrifying, and it would be easy to say, oh, just tell your child not to look at that. I'm sorry, you can't help it. Now, there are some parents that say, oh, my child is so gifted. I would like to suggest that people stop using the word gift. You can't give this back. And I am here to tell you, a lot of people would love to give this back, this ability, this responsibility. You can re-gift something. I can't give this away. I see things that make the angels weep. And if your child is seeing that, you know, the job that Susan's helping me with, and I'm so grateful, is to learn how to parent a child that's seeing things that you don't even have your worst nightmare for. That's really what we're here to talk about today.
Yes, absolutely. Tina, I get it. I'm hearing my voice again echoing. No, it stopped. There was a few things that you said in that little talk then. One of the things was the man in the hat. Now, we've not talked about this before, even in the last podcast, and that is the exact terminology my daughter used to say about somebody in the shed, and she could see him through the window. And she said, all I can do is explain that it's a man in a hat. And and it's sort of, what sort of hat? It's just a hat. She couldn't explain it. And so we tried to talk through it and work through it. But it was very challenging because I didn't know what to do. And then you start talking about The Sixth Sense. When that movie came out, that was one of my aha moments too, because my youngest daughter used to see dead children. And I remember she said, that one over there has been hung. And I went, well, lots of children can get hung. They used to get hung on their clothing. They'd be trying to climb out of a cot and get hung on their clothing. And she said, no, this was done deliberately. And it was like, oh, okay. And we had a chair in her room, and she said there was somebody that used to sit in the chair. She wanted the chair taken out because they'd sit in the room and they'd annoy her all night. And it was like,
yep.
I didn't know how to deal with this. I really didn't know how to deal with it. And I'm sure there's lots of people. My sister, for once, her daughter was going through it too. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that get a really good understanding of this. So you've just talked about the different levels. So a ghost is just a general person that's not necessarily a bad person. They've just not sure where they're going. They've gone to the fourth realm. They've passed over, gone to the fourth realm, and don't know how to get to the fifth or need help to get to the fifth. You're saying the negative energies. You keep calling them a certain name, and I keep forgetting it. But those negative
intelligences.
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 Right. Yeah, negative intelligences. Now they're the ones that have been probably, for the terminology, evil on the third dimension, like this dimension here, have not been necessarily good people. They've turned over and they've got that lower frequencies. And then you've got these other ones. And I'm sure there's plenty more, but I want to focus really on maybe those two, because I want to get an understanding of the terminology children use when they're seeing it. Because we talk about with children, there's invisible friends. There's, like I said, my daughter saw this negative, and she knew it was a negative man in a hat. She knew it was wasn't a nice ghost. Bad. Whereas my younger daughter, and my younger daughter was very aware of the children, and they'd pass not nicely. She wasn't so much scared of them. She was just finding them annoying. I want to sleep, and they just keep coming and coming and coming. So I want to get an understanding now to help our listeners find that terminology that children use.
Okay. The man with the hat is the only description there is for this being that I have ever heard. And in the years and years and years of research that I have done on this, it is the only terminology I've ever found. And this is a being who looks for ways to encourage people to be evil. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
And I use the word intelligence because they're not ghosts. They are, I call them intelligence because some of them are black magicians. And a black magician, it's complicated where they come from, but black magicians feed on the energy of misery.
Yes.
Let me say that again. A black magician feeds on the energy of misery. In the Harry Potter movies, The Prisoner of Azkaban, I just saw this with my granddaughter last weekend. The Dementors were feeding on his fear, Harry Potter's fear. It was a misery. It was terrifying. They feed on terror. Absolutely feed on terror. This is a horrific situation when that happens. And so because of that, understanding there are things that you must do to protect your children. Ghosts don't need to sleep. And if you want to know how a ghost can be in your house and at the mall with your child at the same time, ghosts travel with the speed of thought. Let me say that again. Ghosts travel with the speed of thought. When my mother died in North Carolina, 3,000 miles away, I knew the moment she died because she visited me at my home in San Diego when I used to live there. She can travel with the speed of thought because she's not encumbered by a physical body. Yeah. That's how souls move and they visit family members at death so quickly. That's how they can follow a child. That's how grandma, who was in a nursing home, can go visit your child. You don't know that grandma's just died, but your child knows that, and they're not lying. Mm-hmm. So in these dimensions, the child's going to say, I see the man with the hat. I see a scary monster. I see this black thing with red eyes. It's a lower realm intelligence, and they're awful. I see the scary man. I hear that a lot. And the scary man can be a ghost who was a murderer and harass your child. So the child will say, babies will scream. They just scream, just like my grandson did. I talked about last week.
Yep.
I spoke last week about my grandson who had a ghost.
Yes.
I think we have a
delay. Keep going, Tina. Keep going. I was just about to say, could you explain that one again, just in case people hadn't heard it? Yeah.
I have three granddaughters and one grandson. When my 10-month-old grandson was going to sleep one night, or not sleeping, my son called me and said, he texted me and he said, Jack is screaming like there's no tomorrow. We've never heard this scream before. Can you see if there's someone here? That's sure. So I looked around and lo and behold, there's this 6 or 7 year old little blonde girl and she's sticking pins in Jack's arms and feet. Well, no wonder he's screaming. She just thought that was hysterical. She's having a great time with that. And she followed my granddaughter home. Zoe's in the third grade. So she followed Zoe home because she just follows somebody home every day. And nobody ever helps her. And I said, well, what happens when you try to talk to your mommy? And she said, she just cries and cries and cries. Okay, what's the last thing you remember, sweetie? And she says, I was swinging and I let go and I was flying. And the next thing I remember, I was standing next to my mommy and she was crying. And I said, sweetheart, you died. You let go of the swing and you fell off. And I brought these beautiful angels in and they're going to cross you over. And there's going to be someone you know and love. And that person's going to meet you as these angels. And I brought in a child angel for her as these angels cross you into the heaven world. And she said, okay, well, mommy, keep crying. And I said, your mommy's probably going to cry for a long time. But if you cross over, you'll be able to help your mommy. And what I didn't tell her is that her mommy won't feel her daughter's grief and confusion anymore. And a couple weeks later, I get another phone call from my son. Jack's screaming, a different scream. This is horrifying. We don't know what this is. He's 11 months old now. Okay. He had cleaned out a building. And when he cleaned out this building, there had been some being in the building that he had no idea was there. The being zeroed in on Jack, because Jack could see him and he was taking delight, again, feeding on Jack's fear of harassing him. So I dispatched this intelligence pretty quickly. And then I worked on Jack's room and changed a lot of things in his room. So those ghosts and those beings can't come back to him anymore. So a baby can see things very readily. They can't explain it to you. But they're not making it up either.
Okay. So, yeah. So, all right. So the child is, so we've got an understanding of what ghosts are and what we're looking at. So we've got the ghosts and we've got those negative intelligences that you're talking about or dark intelligences that you're talking about. So we've got those two types. So there's others, obviously, but they're these main ones. Now, and When a child says, like, monsters under the bed, I mean, that for me as a kid, like, I always jumped off my bed because of the monsters under the bed. Now, I don't know what they were. That was just obviously some sort of a fear I had there. I can't tell you what they look like or anything else. It was just monsters under the bed for me. Would that be these lower energies, or could it be ghosts? Or
yes.
Would the child see the ghost more as a human form?
Depends on what form they're in. I have seen them in insect form, and I've seen them in monster form. I have seen them in things I don't want to repeat. So let me give a parent, if you have a parent, if a parent has a child and they think they're seeing monsters under the bed, there is the most elegantly simple solution, and it will guarantee everybody sleeps at night. You remember those old-fashioned Christmas lights where they had the big green and red and yellow and blue bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you need a nightlight with that color green, or at any of the, you know, like a Home Depot kind of a store, you can get what's called a green party light. And I should have had one here so I could show you. And you just plug it in a socket and put it under the bed. And I can guarantee you your child will sleep every night from then on. Not happen again.
Yeah. Okay. Gosh, I wish
it's super simple. Absolutely simple. I mean, I can go on and on of all the simple tools, but that's the fastest, simplest, least expensive tool. And you're not putting your kid on drugs, and they're not sleeping in your bed, and their bedroom won't seem cold anymore, because those intelligences cannot live in that frequency of green light. Back to physics, light frequency matters in the lower astral realm. And they cannot get past that frequency to harass your child.
Right. Okay, I love that. All right, so that's going to help with the monsters under the bed. What's going to help, how can we help people that are listening when their child is, for example, say, seeing dead people, seeing children, or they're seeing something and they're not really aware? Or imaginary friends, what are we looking at there?
What we're looking at in that scenario is they're simply seeing ghosts, and if they're super psychic, they're going to see these ghosts everywhere they go. They can jump in a car. I've had them jump in the car when I was doing 85 miles an hour on a California freeway, and God, that's terrifying. So they can come in and harass your child at any time. And your job as the parent is not to discount what they're seeing. It's not to disbelieve them. First of all, believe them. And second of all, buy the Crossing Over prayer book. And it's also on Audible. So you just start playing that prayer. Or you can have it on print it out and play it, or have it so you can say it, and your child says, "I see a ghost." So this is what this one family did, and it became such a happy routine because the dad was just not having any of it. He's just like, "No, we gotta put this kid on drugs. You know, he might be evil." It's like, your child's not evil. Your child is good. Your child is wonderful. Believe your child. So I said, experiment. Physics, experiment. Use this prayer. Because remember, why does prayer work? Because there is a very specific energy, frequency associated with prayers. Specifically, this prayer and all the others in the book. And so when you're saying that frequency prayer with strength and courage and love in your heart, you're projecting spotlight of energy, and you're directing the angels to remove any and all ghosts who are there right now. Let me stop for a minute. Is that relatively clear?
Yes, for sure. What I'd like to say, Tina, before we go any further, is that with this, with your book, the Crossing Over Prayer book, and you have an other series of books too about ghosts from a ghost point of view, which I thought was really quite interesting. But they're all available on Amazon. And so just you can check out the author, which is Tina Irwin, E-R-W-I-N, or you can actually get a contact Tina through the website as well, which is ghosthelpers.com. So on Tina's website as well, she has a recording, a video of the prayer as well, so you get an understanding of it. The beauty of the book is that you get 88 different prayers in it, and it allows you to really, really zoom in on what area it is, whether somebody's passed from cancer, whether somebody has been murdered, whether it, you know, the different elements of passing over and the reason, if somebody has committed suicide, there's particular prayers for them. But she has that general all-encompassing prayer on the website too. So ghosthelpers.com, you will find that on there. So that could give you an understanding of it. And if you want more, grab the book and go with some of the other prayers that are there. It might help in other areas. But back to children. So what you're saying, Tina, is that if they've got imaginary friends, like, okay, one of the things I'd probably go with here, if they've got an imaginary friend and they're enjoying that imaginary friend, should we cross that imaginary friend over?
Yes, because all ghosts incur karma because they're affecting the living. them to affect the imaginary friend.
Say that again, Tina. I've just muted your mic while you were coughing. Can you just repeat that again? Sorry.
The reason you want to cross over a child, even as an imaginary friend, is because ghosts that are affecting the living are incurring karma, and it's not good karma. And the person doesn't know that. And the only time that the karmic clock stops is when the person has crossed over into the heaven world and they're no longer influencing you. And so the imaginary friend that I had and one of my granddaughters had for a short time, that imaginary friend was lonely and lost. And when I moved, Sarah didn't come with me. So she stayed lost and lonely and cold and afraid. Imagine that's your child. Wouldn't you want someone to reach out and help your child? Wouldn't you want that compassion? And my personal belief is you shouldn't have to hire a medium to do that. You should have the spiritual horsepower to do it yourself every time. And after a while, you don't need to be afraid. If you think you're afraid, ask for a phalanx of angels to come and stand beside you, and you'll feel the energy, which raises your frequency. And when you respect your child and you develop a partnership with your child, and you keep a logbook. I always encourage parents of psychic children to keep a logbook so they can know what's happening with that child over time. Are they seeing different ghosts? This one woman's children only saw the most horrific, horrible things. But as she started crossing them over and teaching the children what to do, the ghosts began to change. And eventually, the kids were so capable, they could take care of it all the time. And don't forget, animals can become ghosts too. I've seen ghost animals many, many times. In fact, there's this the staggering story of a woman who had a kitten. And this kitten was obviously playing with another cat, but the owner couldn't see the other cat. And she knew there was a ghost cat because the ghost cat went barreling through a wall and her kitten knocked herself senseless because the wall didn't open up for her. So, yeah, really happened. So my point is that when you take your power back in an unknown situation using the tools provided, and one of the big, I got 67,000 words into a book on psychic children, because there's so much need. There's so many really sensitive children out there that really need this help, and so do the parents. And by the way, I will not work with someone's child. I only work with a parent. Should never, no psychic should ever abrogate the parent's responsibility or the respect a child has for the parent. The parent must remain in charge, knowledgeable, and responsible. Sorry, I'm going to dump off my soapbox here, but I just really feel strongly about that.
Yep, I agree. When somebody starts to take over, then it's that's not good. Tina, I want to go back because we're starting to get low on time. I want to go back before you started coughing. You were talking about I think it was the twin boys you were talking about. I think that was them, but the family started a routine. And because the father was saying, no, put him on drugs, put him, you know, there's something wrong with him. And you started this routine with the family. What was that? Can you give us just like a brief routine on that that would help the child? Because then we'd have to close.
In the routine, I taught the parents how to from a feng shui view, treat the bedroom so that the bedroom was safe for the children at night using the green light and some other tools. Then I taught the parents how to handle their children when they went out, how to use the prayers, how the children should give a secret signal, like a, you know, pull their ear or, you know, pull their, you know, let their parents know there's a ghost nearby. And then the dad or the mom would say the prayer silently in their head or play it on their phone. Doesn't have to be audible to work. And then the kids would verify that the ghost was gone. And the parents all of a sudden felt like they got their power back. Their kids slept at night. There weren't arguments in the house anymore. They began to feel like they were a team. And I also had the parents have their children say prayers at night, send prayers of healing to the world, teaching their children spiritual service. And this was actually before I had written this book. And they can say the Lord's Prayer. They can say prayers that they get from any book, as long as it's heartfelt. And when you fill the room with the prayer, as a child goes to sleep, they enter the sleep space. They enter the sleep state in a place of divine grace, which raises the frequency of the entire house. And then the child feels empowered and enters a safe sleep space.
Right. That's what I did. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so let's just do a quick wrap up. We're talking about, we've got an understanding of what ghosts are and the differences with them. So that's pretty clear. We've acknowledged the fact that children are very much more open to it because the veil, that they can see through the veil, which gets thicker as we age and then we have to go through it. Some of the techniques you said was one really easy one was the green light under the bed, which I thought was really lovely. But the biggest one is the powerful one is about the prayer. So prayer at night, preferably the crossing over prayer to actually help not just their child, but the spirit, the ghosts that are around them or the spirits that are around them. So it also brings that forward there. So I just love all of that. It just makes it so much easier. But again, look at the website, ghosthelpers.com. Have a look at the book, Crossing Over Prayer Book, by Tina Irwin as well. So any last things before we go, Tina?
Yes. Sometimes if your children see something negative, there is the dark intelligence removal prayer that's also in the Crossing Over Prayer Book, which after you write 88 of them, you don't remember 100% of them verbatim. But that's a really good one if you think there's something dark or negative near your child. And you can say that. The child doesn't have to hear it. You can say it. It protects your child at night or removes whatever's there. And there's also a child's you know, prayer to go to sleep with that changes. Now I lay me down to sleep, you know, where it says, if I should die before I wake, that doesn't sound really great. This is a much happier prayer. And so whatever your faith is irrelevant. It's the power of your heart and the love that you have for humanity. That is the message of the Dalai Lama. It's the message of Christ. It's the message of all the great ones. It's the love of humanity, whether those souls are living or dead. And that is the greatest service that we can do for one another. It will be the compassion we will each want for ourselves. And Susan, I cannot thank you enough for bringing up such an incredibly valuable and important topic.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you for coming on. And we're going to close it off there. I'm going to do a wrap up and let them all know about the next podcast with you and what it's all about, which will be coming out in a few more weeks' time. But thank you again, Tina, for being on. Stay on and we'll have a chat after this. And I'll do the wrap up now. Thanks, Tina.
Okay.
Okay, wow, what an amazing story. I've just checked with my little branding here, so I'm ready to go. That's such a terrific way. I wish I'd known half of that when I was raising my children. And at least I have an awareness now for my grandchildren. I'll be able to help them in our way. But the biggest thing here is, and what I really, really love about Tina and her message, is the fact that you can do this. You can help your child. You do not need to go elsewhere, but I would suggest you get the book. I really would suggest you get the Crossing Over prayer book, because that is going to help you be able to help your child. And it's a great legacy. If your child's seeing that now, your child's going to be that way all the time. So it gives them some power then to go on as they get older as well. So I love that whole idea of it. Grab the book. But that's me for now. What else we got? We've got another podcast coming out, like I said, with Tina. That's in a couple of weeks' time. Now, that's all about grief, about crossing over. When my sister passed from cancer, as a family, we were all gathered around and I said a few things to help her pass and move on. Did I say it right? Have no idea. Tina's going to help us with that and how you can help your loved one cross over as well. So that is all coming up very, very soon. And, in a couple of weeks' time. But that's me for now. Have a great week and we will see you, next week. All the very, very best. And I've said it how many times. Bye for now.